Great. Good to see everyone. Well done for making the effort to get here this morning. I know somebody just told me that it took somebody 55 minutes because of the half marathon to get here. So thank you for coming and making the effort. So many of you will have received a letter in the post from me, which was just to draw attention really to these next couple of Sundays, this Sunday and then the 4th of June, which is the next time we'll actually meet here because of missional community rhythms. And Sue and I wanted to just share a little bit of what's on our heart as we've arrived in 2017. And you might be thinking, well, why is 2017 so significant? Some of you who've been journeying with us will know that in 2013, I shared a document that was called Andy's Dream for 2017. And we talked about it as a leadership team and refined it a little bit and contributed. And then we brought it to the church in November 2013. And it was a bit of a dream for 2017. And we've been working towards that over these last 3.5 years. If you've got a Bible, would you turn with me to the Psalms, the book of Psalms, and Psalm 107 to begin with? Because we just wanted to start in this place. So we just wanted to start in this place this morning of thankfulness. Those of you who will know us will know that when we gather in different contexts, it's always good to begin with thanks, to give thanks to God for what he has done, what he is doing. And the Psalms are full of examples, and this is just one example in Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." And then if you go with me to Psalm 118, again, right at the beginning of that psalm, it says the same. Verse 1, Psalm 118 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever." And I suppose that's the first thing that, you know, if I reflect and we reflect over the last 3.5 years, we really do want to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his faithful love has been demonstrated to us. If you think, and we did a bit of a brainstorm together of what we felt God had done over this last 3.5 years. I've got so many notes here because my wife's got so many notes. It's a very different way than I preach, but that's good. So I need to find my bit. So there's loads that we've done over these last 3.5 years, and some of it have been really planned, and we as a leadership team over these last 3.5 years have had a plan. Now, you may be surprised to know that. Sometimes God has come in and done things left field, and then Sue's going to reflect on that a little bit. But there's certain things that we've sat down and said before God, what is it that you're saying to us, and then what are we going to do about that? And we've really been intentional over building a sense of discipleship culture over these last 3.5 years, because the dream was about being a church that is really good at making disciples. And that's really at the heart of what we want to be as a church. And I came across this phrase that if you make disciples, you'll always get a church. You'll always get the programming and the functioning of a church. But actually, if you focus on just being church and the program of a church, you don't always get disciples. And discipleship has to be at the heart of what we have been doing. And that's what we've really focused on. And you'll know that we've stopped a few things. We stopped life groups. We stopped one or two projects that we were doing. And we've started quite a number of things that we think will help the process of making disciples. And probably the most the visible change has been the introduction of missional communities. And missional communities are just a vehicle that we think is a good vehicle to help us in our growth of discipleship. And it's an environment that we want to build together where we're helping people become disciples. We've been trying to strengthen the center. There's been additions to staff. There's been Ed has come on board and is now working 3 days. Fran has come into the office and is working every morning. We've been trying to strengthen the heart of the church in terms of how we can resource you and equip you as staff. And we've been working together to just develop the whole sense of creativity and prophetic. We've introduced ministries like Sozo, and healing rooms have come back into HBC. There's been lots that God has done over these last 3.5 years. And I could spend a lot more time talking about that. But I just wanted to acknowledge the faithfulness of God to you and to us in what's happened over these last 3.5 years. And then Sue's going to talk a little bit about some of the other things that have happened.
There's a scripture that says we make our plans, but then God does something his own way. And one of my great joys in life is to watch what God does and take us by surprise. So I've sort of titled this, Expecting the Unexpected. And it's all about where has God broken in? And if I'm honest, some of that's been really tough. We've seen 3 quite significant people die in the last 3 years. And I really believe that when someone dies, they leave something behind. And if I think about Paula, and I often think about Paula with that amazing, incredible laugh that she used to have. And I often find myself in a situation and I can hear her laugh in my head. And she had an amazing, compassionate heart for the poor. I think about Mike and his longevity and is cheering us on for many, many years. And I remember the day that we launched Mission Communities, he came and he sat in his wheelchair with his big spotted yellow dicky bow on. And he said, I had to dress for this occasion because it was really important. And I'm sure he's cheering us on in heaven now. And then we had Anne. And Anne, I don't know if you know this about Anne, but Anne used to pray for you, every single one of you, regularly. And she put my prayers to shame because she was so committed to interceding for us as a church. So there's been those things that have happened that have not been easy. A lot of us have had personal experiences, and some of us are still in them, where we found our lives really squeezed and we've had to make a choice. Do we turn into God or do we turn away from God? Into that journey has been the whole journey of buildings, which I know has driven some of us completely up the wall because we've never been quite sure where we were. We've been to the City Mission and God stretched our heart of grace in leaving there for various reasons. We ended up at the university, which was a real trial in some ways, and we weren't quite sure what was going to happen next. And then Andy and I, last February, went to a prophetic conference with about 400 people. And God called us out by name through 5 words of knowledge that described our lives. So we knew the word was for us. But we didn't feel just that the word was for us. It was for us as a church. And God told us that a year of Jubilee would come. And when we moved into the Catholic high school, I don't know if some of you remember the banner that said, this is the year of Jubilee and mercy, which is what we found out later that Pope had called an extraordinary year of Jubilee. So we really felt God led us here. And the journey isn't finished yet. We really don't think that. We set a new vision, bringing healing, wholeness and freedom to broken lives and broken communities. And part of that, we said to God, if that's our vision, then you're going to have to help us fill it because we can't do that. It's got to be you. And so the healing rooms coming to our building and that place of just being able to soak in God's presence, I think, is all part of that. Debbie and I were on a financial Sozo training day yesterday, and we were taught and released into encouraging people to look at God and God as our provider. So we're excited about what God's going to do with that. We've seen lots of you. Lots of you weren't sitting here 3 years ago. And God has brought us new people. We've also said some goodbyes. People have moved away, either in Chester or away. We've seen more baptisms in the last 3 years, I don't know if you know this, than we saw in the previous probably 5 years, 6 years. So we've seen 10 baptisms in this past 3 years. You might not realise this, but our building in Hull that we own is used, and we've tracked this as a leadership team, more now than it was used before we started this journey. Even though we aren't all there on a Sunday morning, that building is still in use. We've seen incredible things happen with our young people. Do you know when the three girls stood here, Evie, Hannah and Laura, the other week, I just thought, wow, that's our tomorrow. That's our legacy. That's what God's doing. And it's really exciting. It's really, really exciting to see what God's doing with worship and prayer and speaking with our young people. Andy has also taken on a national role with Fresh Dreams, and they've helped to resource some of what we've been doing, both financially and in other ways. When we were really short on buildings last year, we didn't know what to do. The leadership team felt we should, in faith, give away a gift to sow into another church's building work. Not because we wanted God to give us money, but we just wanted to show God that we wanted to bless what he was doing. And God has always come through for us over this last 3 years. Sometimes, if we're honest as a leadership, we've been hanging on by our fingernails thinking, what's going to happen next? But we try to act in faith. And when God gives you a measure of faith and we stood up and nail things, we believe that we use that, we have to exercise it, else we lose it. We've also been reviewing what we do. So there's been lots going on behind the scenes for what we pay for, what we resource, and all that kind of thing. But where are we going? That's the past, and we can cheer. But God is faithful today. So I wanted to just share a few things about what we feel, or I feel, God has said about the future. You've heard us say, now is the time, and Andy's going to pick that up in a little while. I came across this week a little verse in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9, that I don't think, I must have read it before, because I've definitely read the Bible more than once, but I hadn't seen that verse. And you know when God gets a verse and he gets your attention, he got my attention. So if you get a chance to read Isaiah chapter 7, it's all in the context of a battle and God's people winning that battle. But right tucked away in the middle of God's instructions for that battle is a verse. And it says, if you have faith, stand firm. If you stand with your faith, you'll see God come through. That's a paraphrase. And I just feel like God is saying to us now, we have to stand again and push forward. And I shared this at Prayer Watch last month. I felt God has said to us, it's time to take another beachhead. The analogy of war is that you press in and you take another piece of land. And so I was sort of praying about that, and I asked God to speak to me. And you might find this funny, but once upon a time, Andy and I went to France on holiday, and we went to the place where Mont Blanc is, which is the highest mountain in Europe. And it was all Alan Lorna's fault, and they're not here to blame. They're away in Thailand. But they said, when you go, you must go up Mont Blanc. So I thought, okay, we'll do that. So we get to Mont Blanc, and there's a great big sign outside, don't go up this mountain if you've got a heart problem or you're of a nervous disposition. So I stood at the bottom of this mountain, and I looked up, and I thought, oh. But we come all that way, and as my husband said, you might not come here again, so we've got to do it. So we got to the queue. And we started queuing to go in this quite big cable car, and they really squashed you in. So there's about 20 of us in this cable car, and I found myself standing next to a young man with a paper bag over his head. So I said to his friend who was standing next to him, why has your friend got a paper bag over his head? And he said, because he's absolutely terrified. So I thought, oh, great. So we start going up this mountain, and we get about, 10 minutes into going up to this mountain, and suddenly this cable car goes, "Woo!" And everybody in the cable car screams, especially the man in the paper bag who sits on the floor. And we all thought, that's it, something's happened. But actually what this cable car does, it swings out, up and over the next top of the mountain. And apparently that happens every time. Of course, I didn't know that. But I felt God say to me, that's what you've got to do. You've got to have enough faith to take the risk to go up the mountain. And even if the ride, is that better? Even if the ride is really frightening, you will still get to the top, but you have to keep going with eyes of faith. So that's what I want to encourage us to do, to keep going. In order to see those new breakthroughs, then we have to be committed to seeking Jesus. And last week, Andy and I went to another prophetic conference. And we went to a place in Sheffield, and we didn't get picked out this time, but we had an amazing time with worshipping God. But there's one thing the lady said who was speaking. She said, what does Jesus get out of being with you? Because it's time not to see what do we get out of being with Jesus, but what does Jesus get out of being with us? And I want to challenge you actually over this next 2 weeks, particularly to really seek the face of Jesus. This vision that we set as a church isn't because the leadership had a good idea. It's because we really felt that's what God was asking us to do. And we'd like everyone in the church to seek Jesus' face, not his hand, what he's going to do for you or us, but his face over this next 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks' time to bring an offering. Now, we want to, Andy's going to talk a little bit more about monetary things, but I want to challenge you to bring something that speaks to you from this verse by seeking Jesus' face. It can be a poem, if you're a poet. It could be a song. It could be a piece of artwork. It could be a cake. It can be anything you feel God says to you through this verse. But we want this to be a collective and a corporate offering to Jesus. And we'll have it hopefully all laid out at the front. And in that, we want to see what God is saying to us about this next step we need to press into. The scriptures in Luke say that Jesus said to his disciples that it was God's pleasure to give us his kingdom. It's God's pleasure to give us his kingdom. And we get the privilege of actually joining in with what he's already doing. I get so excited when I hear stories of what God's doing. Do you? There's people in this room that have told us stories of what God's done in their lives and what he's done with the people they've met. And we have seen some incredible things. We've seen salvation. We've seen some healings. We haven't seen enough, but we've seen some healings. And so I want us to really press into this vision and really see what God's going to say to us through it and bring it as an offering to create that atmosphere of heaven. We all need to seek Jesus' face, every single one of us, from the youngest who might only be able to put a fingerprint on the paper to the oldest. Because God is going to be faithful now and he's going to be faithful in the future. And I really believe, and I said this at the church meeting, I think it's really time to declare who God is and what he's doing in our midst. So we see more of what's going on. But it's not just about us. It's about our place in the city as well. And it's about our place in the nation. And through this time, God has been accelerating in our nation a heart for prayer. And I don't know if you got this leaflet when you came in, but the two archbishops called a couple of years ago, I think it was, for the Anglican Church to have a special initiative between Ascension Day and Pentecost Sunday. And it was called Thy Kingdom Come. But it's gone so popular, if you like, or caught the imagination of the church, that it's now global. It's not just national, it's global. And between May the 24th and May 26th and June the 4th, there is going to be a real push in prayer, with the focus being our Father and His kingdom coming. And I've managed, with some help, to get all these events put together that are going on across our city. And there's lots and lots of them. And they're only a drop in the ocean of what He's doing in our nation. And I don't want us to miss it, because God's on the move. He really is on the move in our nation. And there's people who are hungry to hear the good news. And that's what we're about. So please join in the challenge. We're going to email something to you tomorrow, just to put that into a little email. But can I encourage everyone? All of us have got a part to play. You don't have to be artistic, because you've all got an offering you can bring, whatever it might be. It might be just a verse, but let's all get involved. Thank you.
So come with me in the Bible just for another minute to 2 Chronicles. It's in the Old Testament. And I just want to just draw attention to a passage that Sue and I have been reading and praying into. It's 2 Chronicles 20. And some of you, again, you may or may not be familiar with this, but it's about a king called Jehoshaphat. And it's in the context of warfare, which in the Old Testament, there seemed to be a lot of that going on. There was a lot of warfare in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's slightly different. And I want just to apply that to us in a moment. But we were reading through the story of this occasion where the Israelites were under pressure. They were being attacked. And pick it up at... hold on a little bit before. So basically, a little bit before verse 17, verse 12 and 13, it says, the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. And we were just really struck by this occasion was about the whole family of Israel, of Judah. It wasn't just about the men. It was about the all of them. And that's the thing that we were just trying to pick up here, that actually, you know, from the youngest to the oldest, we're all in this. We're all part of what God is doing in and through us as a church. And then they're told in verse 15 not to be afraid, not to be discouraged, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then verse 17 says, but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. And as we're thinking about moving forward into, you know, beyond 2017, looking towards 2020, just having that in our heads as another marker, part of what I wanted to say is that it's not about us having to do more and more. You know, when we can talk about fighting and spiritual, the sort of spiritual warfare that's going on here, we can think that we need to do more, more stuff. And in some ways, I'm not necessarily thinking that we do need to do more stuff. And in some ways, maybe some of us need to do less stuff. What I think we need to do is to take our position, to find our position. And what I mean by that is to really pick up on what Sue was saying in terms of all of us have got a measure of faith. We've all got some measure of faith, some the faith that's in our hearts that's responding to what God has said or done. And for some of us, that measure of faith was exercised. We did something with that faith when we became a Christian. So you used your faith because you began to put your belief in what Jesus has done. You met that measure of faith. You took a step with it. And the thing about the measure of faith is that you have to keep using your faith. I don't think you actually necessarily lose your faith. Some people say, well, you know, people lose their faith. Well, part of that is because I think people stop using their faith. They stop using that measure of faith to stand in that place before them and God where they're trusting in what God is doing in and through them. And I think for some of us in this room, there's stuff going on around us that can be very personal, something to do with our family life or our wider family. And what God is saying to you is that you just need to stand in your faith. Because you do have a measure of faith. That faith doesn't have to be a massive measure. Jesus talked a number of times about a mustard seed of faith. So if you use a mustard seed of faith, Jesus said, you can speak to a mountain and make it move. So actually, it's not necessarily because it's not really about your faith. Because as you stand and with your trust, I believe God will come alongside us and will mix in his faith with us. His faith in you, because you are trusting him. And I really believe that over these next few weeks and months and years, part of what we need to be doing as a church is not so much asking God to do things, but be believing that God is already who he says he is and declaring what he wants to do. So let me give you an example. I know we have to pray for people to become Christians. But actually, we need to pray that from a point of view that actually that is God's will that people become Christians. So the people that's in your life, people of peace, family members that you're praying for, it's not that we have to really, you know, plead and twist God's arm and convince God that why doesn't he save this person? It's like that's his will. Timothy says it's not God's will that anyone should perish. So we can stand in confidence in a new way in our prayer life to believe what God has already said and speak that out in truth. And we're going to explore that a little bit more, I think, over the next few weeks, months and years in terms of standing in a place of faith and trust. And out of that place of faith and trust to then speak out God's truth over people. And that's to do with our identity, it's to do with our purpose, it's to do with what God wants to do in and through us, both as a church and a city. And what's so good about this is, as they do that, and this is going back to 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat goes out to this battle, and he says, "Listen to me, all of you people of Judah, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm." And I think that's a word for some of us this morning, that as you believe, as you trust God, then you will be able to stand firm. To have that confidence. Whatever's coming against you, whatever's going on within you, God is for you and with you and not against you. And then the story goes that actually he says what you need to do is you need to put the musicians at the front of this battle. And that symbolizes to me the importance of worship. The importance of us bringing it's like a sacrifice of praise sometimes. And there's something really precious to God that when we're in the midst of difficulties, when things aren't particularly going well, that we choose to offer a sacrifice of praise. And what they sing is interesting because they sing Psalm 118, verse 1. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever." It's that same refrain that they're doing in this situation. So right now for us as a church, we're in a moment where we need to stand together to see God continue to resource the vision that he's given us. Some of you will know better than others that when we set our budget, this is in March, we went through a process as a leadership team and as a church, reflecting on God's faithfulness, but setting a budget that has a faith gap of £27,000. That's on a budget of about £130,000. And so we're looking to God to say, together, we believe that we can step into that. And trust him. God has done that. That's not the first time we've done that. Shirley said when we presented it that every time Shirley's been the treasurer of the church, which is probably 15 years back, almost every year we set a budget with a faith gap. Every time. There you go. See, I knew it was every time. So we keep doing this, and we keep believing God will provide, and he does. Money comes in from external sources, from within you as people, as you give. And we want to give you that opportunity next time we meet on the 4th of June to give into this, to sow in with a one-off gift day, as well as thinking about how you could increase your giving. And the leadership team have been praying about this like we did last time when we decided and felt God say, give money away. This time as a leadership team, we felt God say to us, through Sam particularly, who spoke to us about this, he felt like God say, you need to stand up and give and sow into this as a leadership team. So the leadership team have committed to giving 10% of that already. So over £3,000 we've said together as a leadership team, we're committed to give as a one-off gift into this. Because we just felt God say that to us, and we wanted to sort of say that to you and say, come with us on this journey of faith. Have a read of the letter that we sent out about how we believe that this is a moment of standing together and trusting in God's goodness and faithfulness. And the vision we have and all that we're seeking to do through the Lighthouse Center, through discipleship, through mission, through overseas, sending people out, all that stuff. We believe that's to do that, we've got this amount of money that we need to raise through our giving and through God's goodness.
Just to put it into context, last year we had a 16,000 deficit budget, which was really big, and we thought, oh, but actually at the end of the year we ended up with 2,000 in credit. So just to put it into context, it's not a huge leap. All right.
So what we'd like to do is, just to end this time together, we did this at the church meeting in March, and we felt it was important that we stood together and we spoke out a declaration that we've written and we've amalgamated from one or two other things that we're aware of. So on the screen is this declaration. So I'm going to give you a chance to read it, because I want you to read it first so that when you actually say it, there's some sense of conviction about what you're saying. So if you're just reading it for the first time, you're just reading it, aren't you? So just have a read of it. And if you feel in your heart there's a faith level, your measure of faith connects with these words, then we'll stand together and we'll just speak this out as a declaration. And as we're doing that, if the worship team guys could come up and be ready to go into a time of worship after this, that would be great. And that's the second bit of it.
I'm just going to pray before we do it, okay? Let's just turn our eyes and our affection to Jesus. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. And we have the honor, Lord Jesus, of serving you, of following you, of joining in with you. And when we encounter you, Father God, we are transformed. And you impart to us your love, your grace and your truth. And so indeed today we stand and we come to you in faith. That what you've given us to do as a group of people, you would resource and you would enable. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So let's stand together. I invite you to stand with us. As you know, one of the key verses that God has spoken to us is from 2 Corinthians 6, which says, now is the time. And in some ways, part of what I'm believing for is that we've been believing for this dream for 2017. And it's like something's going to happen in the future, something's going to happen in the future. But I believe God is saying now is the time. It's not about what God is going to do in the future, though that's great. It's actually what is God doing now. And something is, I really believe something is shifting in terms of what God is doing in our nation, but also we're part of that as a church. So I that's the whole thing of standing together in this moment, is that now is the time. Now, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God's favor. And although we're looking forward for what God will do, it's like, actually now, this is what God is doing right now. In this moment, in this year, I believe God is going to keep releasing more salvation, more healing, more wholeness, more provision, more justice, more serving people, getting involved in social action, all the stuff that we're doing. We're doing so much as a church, which is good stuff, where we're meeting people. But actually, we're just saying, Lord, now is the time to see more of your kingdom come. So let's say this together, shall we? We are believing you for heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, and miracles created, dreams and visions, angelic visitations, declarations, impartations, and divine appointments. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our financial needs, that we may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is in a good mood. Say that again. God is in a good mood. He loves us all the time. Nothing can separate us from his love. Jesus' blood paid for everything. We will tell the nations of what he has done. With God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah.
Desire for more salvations. Let's sing about the rescuer who is mighty and strong to save. Salvation belongs to God, yeah? And his arm is not too short to save.
You're mighty and strong to save. Mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. Rescuer. You're mighty and strong to save. 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 Rescue.
the heavens he came.
From the heavens he came to the earth. Jesus, you overcame death itself for our sake. Let the earth now proclaim, rescuer, oh what a Savior, freedom forever. Lift our hands with chains undone. That no mercy cannot stay silent. We sing our songs of saving love. Oh, what a Savior. Freedom forever. Lift our hands with chains undone. Hearts that no mercy cannot stay silent. We sing our songs of saving. Oh, you're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. Rescuer. Oh, you're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save, rescuer. You're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save, rescuer. Oh, you're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. Rescuer. Rescuer.
Just as we stand and sing, maybe in the quiet of your heart, or even if you feel confident to speak it out, just thank the Lord for some of the things that he's rescued you from. Has he rescued you from sickness? Declare it. Praise him for it. Has he rescued you from financial burden? Has he rescued you from the chains of death and hell and sin? Thank him.